Money FM 89.3, best of your money.
Prepaid cards, debit cards, those digital ang baos, they become increasingly popular. It's not hard to understand why. They're convenient, they make great gifts, and they allow people without traditional banking or even credit accounts to make payments with merchants who sometimes only accept major credit card brands. But the qualities that make them attractive to consumers also make them very enticing too. Scammers or fraudsters who appreciate the same facts that consumers gravitate towards. They're hard to trace. They're easy to spend as well. So today on the show, we try to understand how prepaid debit cards or gift cards can pose problems for consumers, even industries and companies, and what we can do about it. Bharath Velor is Managing Director for APAC at Acuity. Acuity powers client transactions to help build a trusted financial ecosystem. Good morning, Bharath.
Good morning, Michelle.
Good
thanks
to have
for
you
having
here.
Me on your show.
Oh,
well,
great
thanks
to
for having
speak
me on my show.
You. So when it comes to those low-value peer-to-peer transactions, those digital red packets are really picking up in terms of popularity. Are they really a window for fraud and financial crime, Bharath?
Yes. I think if you look at the trend, what has happened is there's been a huge movement of transactions replacing cash, and the pandemic has, in fact, accelerated that movement away from cash, which has led to the popularity of having the prepaid debit cards. We've also had the Monetary Authority of Singapore actually advising last year to encourage gifting Hong Paos through digital means as well. So that move is it has always been there. I remember that there was projections being made that only less than 10% of payments would be made by cash by 2028 by UK Finance. And through this pandemic, that target has already been broadly met by China. And here in Asia, a lot of countries are on way to take cash out of peer-to-peer payments, low-value payments as such.
Mm, but how could they be a window for potential fraud?
So, I mean, it's the value of payments definitely kind of makes you believe that a fraud or a fraudster or someone who's trying to work around the financial regulations wouldn't find it attractive enough to indulge in there. But actually, when you look at fraudsters, when you look at financial the scamsters, one of their kind of modus operandi is to kind of stay below threshold levels of transactions. So if you feel that a $3,000 transaction, or maybe let me take it even lower, a $1,000 transaction or a $500 transaction need not be that attractive for a fraudster. The fraudsters know that these are the thresholds that financial institutions might be looking at as well. So they would try to operate at transaction levels below this threshold in order for them to be not to be picked up, and they would do multiples of those transactions. So it's not the value, as I say, that should be guiding whether there is a risk in the transaction. It's also the originator and the beneficiary of those transactions which will drive the risk sensitivity.
Got it. Just so we can make it clear for our listeners, what exactly can fraudsters do with prepaid cards, for example?
So there are different kind of regulations, right? One is around compliance with the sanctions. So you would have a watch list that regulators and central banks around the world come out with, and they identify entities and individuals whose assets should be frozen or who should not be part of the financial kind of industry as such. And prepaid debit cards offer them a way to come in and be onboarded because the value is low. They could be beneficiaries of such payments by indulging in low value but multiples of those transactions. Fraudsters, especially when they are taking care of mule accounts, as they call it. The mule accounts are accounts of unsuspecting individuals who are then taken advantage of fraudsters to be carry on transactions on their behalf, either laundering money or transferring money from proceeds of corruption or some other illegal means and making it seem legal. Mule accounts are usually used for that, and fraudsters would, as in, open prepaid debit cards on multiple accounts of such mules and have large amounts of money broken down into small amounts and then transacted.
Bharath, I wonder if there's some examples of this happening that have become significant in the recent couple of months to you.
As in, not in the region, I would say, but we've had cases. As in, if you see the general trend, and this has been given out by the Singapore Police Force and even by the regulator here, Monetary Authority of Singapore, that they are seeing more incidences of frauds and scams happening through the pandemic. And what has happened is technology has now more than ever playing such a significant role in our lives. Yeah. So we are seeing more and more fraudsters taking advantage of technology. So there has not been a specific case around prepaid debit cards, but we've seen more and more cases of frauds happening, low-value transactions, but where either accounts are being hacked into or there's been attempts to bypass through around security and compliance systems to drive more transactions. But no specific examples to your question on prepaid debit cards.
All right. Well, to help ground it then for our listeners, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the steps that either individuals or institutions can take to make sure that they're not victim of financial crime that of the type that we're talking about.
As I mentioned, I think the key here is to ensure that while you're doing all this, the customer experience shouldn't suffer. I think we are in a generation which would not want the transactions to be held up while you're doing your due diligence to ensure that there's no risk or fraud, risk of fraud in that transaction. So the customer experience should not suffer. At the same time, you should be ensuring that the due diligence on the originator and the beneficiary is done. So technology is in play. But there's a lot of automated technology that is being implemented to pick up patterns within these transactions to understand if there is a pattern that can be led to believe that this is a fraudster operating, or even when you're onboarding your customers, doing the right amount of screening, not just on their on the particulars that they provide as part of their Know Your Customer regulations, to screen them against the known watch list. We do that, but at the same time, also a digital identity. So the machine that they're logging in from, the internet network that they're logging in from, there's so many other parameters that could be now used to assess the risk that particular individual or entity is bringing in while they're coming to transact with you. So there is a lot of technology that is available out there, which is helping the banks, the financial institutions, to keep the fraudsters and the money launderers out of the system.
All right, good to know. Thank you for joining us, Bharath. Bharath Velor is Managing Director APEC at Acuity, helping us understand the fraud that can come along with cashless shopping or even fast digital transactions. This is Your Money.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.